Remind me of somebody. I've never been told I remind people of Jesus. Have you? It's a significant thing to understand the power of this text because it's calling you to live at a totally different level. And when you look at this text and you begin to realize what the author, Paul, is trying to communicate, Peter is trying to communicate, he is aware of something that he personally has experienced, which is the mercy of God, the graciousness of God. And he has experienced it in such a way that he addresses it in the words that he uses this, and he says, listen, you guys have been called to live in a totally different mode than the world lives. You have been called to function differently than the world is trying to teach you to function. You have learned that if someone slaps you, you slap them back. Pushes you, you push them back harder. You've learned if you want it, you can have it. Love is love, and you can love anything you want, including your dog, cat, bird, tree, whatever you want, and you can live with that. And God steps back in Peter here and he says, that's not why I've called you. You've been called to follow in the steps. So if you look at the text this morning and you understand the power of the words that are written, it says this. I'm going to start back two verses. I'm going to go from verse 18. It says this, slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. The trouble with being a Christian is you're not expected to treat people the way they deserve to be treated. I'll tell you why. Because you don't get treated the way you deserve to be treated. If God's going to put you up here at a test today and test you and say, how faithful were you this week? How consistent with his will have you been this week? Or anything you want, what you'll hear is God's mercy demonstrated to you, and he will show you, you don't receive what you deserve. You get what he wants to give you. You get what he has won for you. And so part of the process is you're learning something brand new. I don't stand here because I deserve any honor, prestige, or anything from anyone. I stand here today because God has been good enough to take a schmuck of a guy who has 102 different problems and bring him to a point where he actually says, Lord, apart from you, I would not have any righteousness in my life at all. He has taken me to a point where he has called me to follow in his footsteps. And those are terribly difficult to follow in. Not because I don't see the wisdom in it, because I don't want to. Like, how many of you have an experience when God says, do such and such a thing, or don't do something, you go, oh, God's really just, don't listen to him. What does he know? One of the most hated expectations in the Bible is chaste living. Sexual purity. I can't get around it. In marriage, it's one thing. One relationship for life. Any questions? And people go, well, you better preach a different gospel because I don't like your church. And I go, it's not my church. It's not my word. And that's the footstep where Jesus left for me. And I have to walk there. Now, have I been perfect enough in that position? No. But that's what repentance is called. Lord, I know where you've told me to step, and I should have had my head chopped off. But instead, you showed mercy. I slipped and fell, and you showed mercy. And God goes, are you learning anything? I show you mercy because I love you that much. And so the question I pose to you, do you love people in your life that much? Have you been motivated and filled with the Holy Spirit, relying solely upon the mercy and the grace of God to help you forgive even the most precious people in your life, those closest to you, for some of their inconsistencies, their wickedness, their rudeness, and all the 101 things that we can all justify and explain why I don't love him anymore. One of the challenges, of course, is we always think of love as a warm, fuzzy feeling. The Bible never speaks of it as warm, fuzzy feelings. It speaks of it as a decision. To love someone is to make a decision that you'll put them and their needs before your own. Like, I'll go to the cross for you because you can't afford to die like you're going to die. I will die for you and pay the price for you in full because you can't do it. I'm going to teach you what love really is. Don't listen to the world behind me, the cross before me. Let me show you what love really is. And he spread his arms on the cross and said to you, it is complete. It is finished. Your sins have been paid in full. And so here, in this merciful moment, God looks at us and is speaking to us through Peter, trying to help us understand. Do you understand what I have done for you? When he washes the feet of the disciples, one of the things he says to them is, do you guys get this? Do you understand what I've done for you? I wash your feet. I'm your Lord, your master, your God, and I wash your feet. And you know what my answer is? I won't wash that person's feet. I hate them. I won't wash that person's feet because they're better than me, and I don't want to make them think they're better than me anymore. I can come up with more excuses and logic in my useless mind than I can possibly deal with sometimes. And here's my Lord looking at me through the words of Scripture saying, Bruce, do you understand I washed your feet? Do you understand I humbled myself? I got down on my hands and knees, and I did something for you because I love you. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his brother, for somebody else. And what we also have to remember, even your worst enemy. Because you step back and God goes, Bruce, you were God's enemy when he died for you. Bruce, you still live as God's enemy now. You're inconsistent in your life actions. You make promises you don't keep, and the list goes on and on and on. And God whispers to me, what are you learning, Bruce? What are you discovering? And so he begins to explain this very point. And he takes something as tragic as slavery and he goes, even if you're a slave, even if you're being treated harshly, insensitively, or cruelly, he said, what glory is it if you can put up with suffering when the people love you and you're dealing with it that way? He says, real pleasing to God is when you're suffering with a wife or a husband that doesn't care. When you're suffering with a child that is rude and insensitive and self-centered and unbelievably foolish. He's trying to grapple and help us get to that point that we begin to understand what this text is really all about. And so it says, for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing what is wrong and you endure it? You only got what you deserved. How do we give you any credit? And he doesn't mean like pat you on the back credit. He means, well, there's no glory in that. You got exactly what you deserved. But he goes on there. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, hang in there. Don't quit. You don't quit. What do you mean you don't quit? God said, I set marriage up to be an example of my love for me and the church. The church is the bride. I'm the husband. Fathers, I expect you to love your wife the way I love the church and gave myself up for her. You know, are you talking to me, Lord? You have to love that person even if? Yes. I've got to consider them more important than even what I want in life? Yes. And you begin to understand. Paul is talking, or Peter here, excuse me, is talking to a tough crowd. They're like us. They struggle. The me, myself, and I is unbelievably strong in us. You insulted me. You didn't do what I needed you to do. And I can justify it. Those people in the church, they're also, you fill in your word. And you justify not being a part of it or walking away or any number of things that we can do. And God steps into this. He says, this is commendable for God if you suffer for doing good and you endure it. That's what God says. Well done. well done. You think all those disciples even had a concept of what Jesus was doing when he washed their feet? And I was using the example in the children's sermon when we had that day of walking through the feces and everything that was out in the streets at that time. And when you took your sandals off, your feet were filthy. But none of the other disciples washed those feet. But Jesus did. And he looks at you and he says, are you getting this? Well, you know, and I know, it took a while for the disciples to figure it out. But you and I don't have that excuse because we're being called to live at a level of self-sacrifice, trusting in God. You see, it's only a sacrifice if you don't understand that God is watching, God is empowering, God is desiring to pour something into you. Those men followed Jesus. They followed Jesus because they understood what it meant when he said, I love you. It wasn't, I'm getting warm, fuzzy feelings because I'm washing your feet. I love you enough to do for you what no one else will do for you. I love you enough to take you to heaven in spite of your own inconsistencies, your lies and deceptions. I love you enough because I want you to know what love is and what it really means and how to be faithful in it. He goes on from there. It says this, to this you were called. This is really your calling. Go, well, can I reconsider that call? It's kind of like the first time you get married, you go, oh my goodness, this is going to last for a while. Oh my goodness, this is really the girl I picked or the guy I picked. And he's not as perfect as I thought. My mother was right. Or my mother, the only one that said that to my wife. Right? And I go, you don't understand. This is so beautiful. It goes, you've been called because this life is difficult. It's difficult to live with another person. Some of you can hardly stand your own families. Some of you can't figure out how to get along with your own mom and dad. Some of you behave in ways where you distance yourself from your brothers and your sisters because they've walked a different path. And you begin to recognize, he's going, listen, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you. He said, do you understand? I went to the cross while we were yet his enemies. While we yet hated God, God paid the price for my soul, for my salvation, for my life. And he said, that's the message I want you to hear and I want you to see. How important are you? You're more important to me than my son's life. I will sacrifice my son so you, Bruce, can be in heaven with me. And you begin to understand, love is not warm, fuzzy feelings. It's a decision to act according to God's will. It's a decision to act in the other person's benefit, whether they deserve it or not. And so we go from that point, it says, leaving you an example, Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should, here it comes, kids, follow in his steps. What do you mean? Wash people's feet. What do you mean? Find those people that hate you and forgive them. What do you mean? They may never love me. Yeah. They may never care. Yeah. Do you think God stops loving you because you don't care about him? What? Because you've drifted from God? You think God goes, oh, I just can't remember her name. What happened to that person? What was that name again? They were there for a while, but now they're gone. What do you think? God does what you do? That you sometimes somehow drift out of his mind and he starts living a compromised life because he doesn't want to live the life with you or something? Like somehow he stopped loving you, that his blood has stopped cleansing you from all sins, and that he has stopped calling you to come follow him, where you want to enter into the movie and step in the place you want to step and get your head lopped off, or the floor drop out from under you, or spears come up and pierce you through because you think you're smarter or better and you can solve the problems better than God can. God whispers to you, I haven't stopped loving you. I haven't stopped being committed to washing your feet. I know you don't listen to me. I know you don't care about me, but that doesn't stop me from caring about you. Does that sound like some of your relationships and friendships where you have this big debate? Should I call him? Should he call me? Who should do it first or second or third? God whispers to you and says, be quiet and do it. I didn't ask you if I could wash your feet. I got up and washed your feet. They stunk. They were filthy. And it was a courteous thing to do in that culture. And so you begin to recognize what God's really communicating. It says this. Instead, he, Jesus, entrusted himself to him who judges justly. The only one you got to please is not me, not your pastor, not your mom, not your dad, not your wife, not your husband. You are being held accountable to God and God alone. And God does not care about your external behaviors. God is caring about your heart. What are you really motivated by? Why do you want to look good, sound good, be nice to your wife or your husband? What can you get from it? What benefit can you get from it? Are you nice because you want people to think you're nice? God whispers to you and says, I examine a man's heart. I examine why you do what you do. That's the part I want from you. So you begin to recognize, you go, oh my goodness, Lord, this is tougher than I thought. It's not just external obedience. It's when I really have forgiven somebody, and then the only source of that forgiveness is my trusting in Jesus. Jesus, I don't know if I got it in me to forgive him, but I need you to help me forgive him. I need you to change me, Lord. I need you to make me willing to wash feet. I need you to make me willing to be faithful and obedient. And God whispers to you, I have been here and I love you and I will. And he is the empowerment. He is the power behind your ability to do these things. It goes on from that. It says, by his wounds, you have been healed. It's paid for. All your inconsistencies, all your drifting away from Jesus is paid for in full. You go, well, I'm going to have to come back. And yeah, come back. You're walking away. The shepherd is waiting for you, and you can choose to follow him or not. That's why he ends it with such a beautiful little shepherd illustration at the end. It says, you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The shepherd didn't stop loving the sheep when it wandered off. Instead, the parable is all about how important that single sheep was. That's how critically important you are to God. That's how significant the gospel is. That while you wandered off, God did not stop searching, trying to pull you back, trying to give to you what you need so badly and set you free. And so here in the framework of this text, we've got this beautiful message that Peter shared as he's reminded, Peter, do you love me? Oh, yes, Lord. You know I love. No, Peter. Do you love me? Well, yes, Lord. You know I love you. No, Peter. Third time. Do you love me? And with sorrow in his looks and his face, Peter returned to the shepherd. He was reestablished. The love of Jesus didn't stop loving him. The kindness and the pursuit of God into his life didn't stop. But Peter finally understood. I returned to the good shepherd who had always loved me and had always given all for me. And so within the framework of this text now, we learned how much God longs for you to stay with him, be with him, let him lead you, tell you which square to stand on because you're not smart enough. Oh no, I can use this drug. No, you can't. The drug will kill you. I can deal with this pornography. No, you can't. It'll destroy your marriage and your friendships and your life. I can do this thing. God whispers to you, you're stepping in the wrong spot and it will kill you. And he doesn't do that to be mean any more than in Indiana Jones, if he told him, watch where I step, or throwing, remember the sand crystals or whatever they were, he threw on that invisible bridge so they could see it. When he crossed, I think it was not Indiana, but the next one down or whatever it was, where he has to go on this bridge. And he says, so you can see where to step. He takes dirt and he throws it across the bridge. And the person, why did God do that? So you'd know where to step. So you could get from where you were to where you need to be. Why is God telling me, warning me, encouraging me, don't walk down that path, don't step in that area, follow my footsteps? And so we begin to understand when it says, I've decided to follow Jesus, in the simplicity of that song, the cross before me, or the world behind me, the cross before me, you begin to understand, I have to turn my back on something. I have to walk away from one thing to live in a different way. That's what's most struggling for many people. They don't want to walk away from the world that teases them, that satisfies them, that they live for. Then finally, the warning that you may have to go there all alone. Just because God wants to keep you safe, just because Indy wants to get you back to the chalice or to the treasure or whatever the particular movie is about, you begin to understand. He's going, please understand this. I want to get you from where you are to where you need to be. And so this message, while challenging, is unbelievably sweet. Can I take you through life? Can I help you learn where to step so that you can make it? And that's his message to us today. Join me if you would. Lord, how easy it is to say, I've decided to follow you. How challenging it is to step where you tell us to step. And in the middle of it, you keep telling us that your love for us does not quit. When we drift away, you don't quit. When we are the lost sheep, you don't stop caring for us or loving us or trying to bring us back from the situations and the stupid things we're doing in our lives. Yet at the same time, your grace is extended to us every day. So come and bless us, Lord. Call us back from where we are so that we can be shepherded by your gentleness and your love, to be guided in the safe path and walk in your steps, Lord. We pray this all in your name. Amen.